We live in the most permissive nation on earth, and the worldliness has gotten into the church. And if we don't repent, there's only judgment coming for this nation. And it's got to start with God's people. It's got to start with God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will hear their prayers, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. God gives us that promise, but it's His people that have to pray. We have to pray.
You shall love the Lord with all your heart. You shall love the Lord with all your soul. You shall love the Lord with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Oh Lord, all my mind.
A most perplexing aspect of understanding how God works is how He chooses to use certain people. He uses people, the pain in the neck people, the below average people, the people that you would never imagine being used in a leadership capacity. But what's even more amazing to contemplate is how God uses individuals like you or I. Because after all, we're made with the same stuff. Today, from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey will encourage us how God made Saul, the self-made man, into Paul, the problem-solving apostle, as we'll consider in Acts chapter 9. With today's program, From Faith to Faith, here's Pastor Henry.
Acts chapter 9, fascinating chapter in the scripture. We're going to see the salvation of the enemy of the church. The apostle Paul, who first was named Saul, his name was later changed to Paul, was the enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the early days of the church, this man single-handedly was the one that was persecuting the church. Not single-handedly, there was a lot of persecution, but he was the greatest persecutor of the early church. When Stephen appeared before the Sanhedrin and gave his great testimony there before the Sanhedrin, and they took him out and stoned him, Paul was right there. Saul was his name at that time. Saul was right there approving of the whole thing. Paul gave his vote against him, and he stood there while the men stoned him and totally approved of it. But you know, I think something about that haunted Saul when he saw this man die and say, "Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge." Like Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You know, one of the greatest witnesses you will ever have is how you react under pressure. How you react when it's in a situation like that. Maybe, who knows? Some of us in this room could be martyred for our faith in Jesus Christ. How will we be at that moment? Will we be saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Or will we be wanting to kill those that are killing us? You know, God has called us to be Christ-like. And so Paul was right there. Saul was right there watching Stephen being martyred. Stephen looked up into heaven, and he saw the heavens open, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he prayed for those that were stoning him. I'm certain that that was in Paul's mind. How could this be? But he was so angry against these people because this was heresy as far as he was concerned. This was not the rabbinic Judaism that he knew, that had been delivered to him. And this was not what he had learned. And who was this man, Jesus? And so Saul at this point, he was persecuting the church. And so in chapter 9 here, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, murder, against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So this guy is so mad. He's so angry at these people. He goes to the high priest, and he got from him letters to Damascus to go to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And so he was going to get these people. He was going to get them and bring them back and punish them. And it says, any of this way. The early church was called the way. We were called Christians later at Antioch, but early it was called the Way. And Jesus said, I am what? The Way, the Truth, and the Life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And so it was called the Way at this time. And so if he found any of this way, what was this way? Following Jesus instead of keeping the Old Testament law and all of those things and all those feast days and all of that. But it was following this man Jesus, and Paul, this is wrong, this can't be. And so Paul, let's get these people and get rid of them. And so he wanted to bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks, to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So this is a fascinating, fascinating encounter with Jesus Christ. Immediately, this man, Saul, is converted. He says, Lord, what will you have me to do? Instantaneous. This is a beautiful story. This is a beautiful story. You know, the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ could be converted in an instant, and become like the Apostle Paul and go forth and turn this world upside down. So let's not be angry with the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the war is not against people. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So do people get you upset? Do people get you mad? Do people get you angry? They get on your nerves? Do they persecute you? Do they say all manner of evil against you at work or in other places? And when you stand up for Jesus, they're ready to slap you back down? Pray for them. Pray for them. It might be that God will call another Apostle Paul out of someone who has persecuted you and misused you and even tried to kill you. And that's what God is in the business of doing this kind of thing. He's a loving God, a merciful God, and He's kind. He's kind. That's why the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Pray for our enemies. Pray for this, because it's not people. People are not your enemy. In one sense they are, in another sense they're not. But the enemy is really Satan. The enemy is really Satan. People may come against you and hate you, but pray for them until the end, because the Lord may change them. So here now, he journeyed, and he saw this bright light from heaven, and then he fell to the earth. Now, most of the pictures you see concerning this, you know, when you see Sunday school pictures and all, you see a horse there, and Paul has fallen off a horse. Let me tell you, if he fell off of an animal, it would have been a donkey. They didn't ride horses. The righteous Jews didn't ride horses. That was considered an animal of warfare. It would have been a donkey. We don't know that he was riding any animal. He was journeying to Damascus. It's a pretty good journey. So he was probably walking on the Damascus road, but he fell to the earth, it says, and then he heard this voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not my church, me. You know what? When somebody persecutes you, they're persecuting Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about when you're standing up for the Lord, when it's a righteous act on your part. Now, if you do evil, Peter tells us, if you do something evil and you get punished for it, then that's not thankworthy with God. You're getting what you deserve. But when you do that which is good and you get punished or you get persecuted, then that's thankworthy with God. And that's what I'm talking about here. When you're doing God's will, doing God's work, and you get persecuted, Jesus takes it very personally. He says, that's persecuting me. That's persecuting me. So Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he said, Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Immediately. And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Then he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads. You know, in those days when they would drive the ox along, they had these sharp sticks. And with those sticks, they would stick them in the back of their legs. And, you know, their hind legs as the ox, if the ox slowed down or he wanted to change directions and all, he'd take those goads and stick them. If the ox were hesitant, stick them with those goads. Now you can imagine if you stuck the ox and he got mad, he'd kick. He kicked back, and when he kicked back, it was worse because he stuck his leg into the ox goad. So that's what he's talking about. You're just making it worse. When the ox kicked, you know, boom, that was worse. So the ox would quit kicking after a while. The ox is pretty smart. Sometimes human beings aren't as smart. We keep kicking against the goads. And that's what Paul was doing, and that's what he said. It's really hard for you to keep kicking against the goads. In other words, Paul's conscience was pricking him. Paul's conscience, I do believe that there were things going on in this man's mind, in his heart, that he knew that there was something special about these Christians as he'd watched the martyrdom of Stephen, and it was hard to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You know, another thing, when we come to Jesus Christ, sometimes we want God to lay out our whole life, don't we? We know he's capable of doing that. He gave us the Bible, which lays out human history. And so, okay, God, what's the plan now? What is the 5-year plan? And what are our goals here? And we want God to lay it all out. And where are we going to be in 5 years? And how it's going to go? And how much money we're going to have? And all that. Jesus said, come and follow me. He didn't fill in the blanks at that point. Didn't give you the details. He just said, come, follow me. We have to trust him. We have to trust him, don't we? Because sometimes we don't know what the price is going to be of following him. And we don't exactly know where we're going to end up on this earth. We know our ultimate destination is the kingdom of heaven, going to be with him. But I do know this, wherever God takes you, it's going to be right, it's going to be good, and you're going to like it. And that's what we see here now. And the Lord said to him, now arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. So I'm going to give you one step at a time. We don't like that, do we? God just says one step at a time. Now you take this step, and then I'll lead you in the next step. That's walking by faith. And I want to know what the next 5 steps are going to be. And the Lord says, no, you take the next step, and then I'll show you the step after that. And that's what he's saying to Paul now. Go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. So the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. If you read on through the book of Acts, chapter 22, chapter 26, Paul, in recounting this story, tells you that they actually did hear, they heard the voice, but they didn't understand what was said because it was in another language. Probably talking to Paul in Hebrew, these men probably did not understand Hebrew. So there's not any discrepancies in the Word of God concerning this incident, but on one occasion it says they heard the voice, another occasion it says they didn't hear the voice. One is they heard a voice, but they didn't understand it. The other is they didn't hear it because they didn't understand it. That was what that means, that they didn't hear, they didn't have the understanding of what they heard. And so here now, they stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So Paul was blinded by this experience. We're used to the Lord opening people's eyes and healing the blind, aren't we? But in this case now, Paul, who was a Pharisee, was blinded temporarily, that his eyes might be opened permanently, that he might truly see. But he was blinded, and he was 3 days without sight and did not eat, he didn't drink. That's a long time to go without anything to drink. We can fast for 3 days, but no water either. That's a while to go, and so that's tough. But he was 3 days without food, without drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, the Lord called him. And he said, Behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And is seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so now the Lord calls this man Ananias. This is all we know about Ananias here, this faithful disciple there in Damascus. All we know is the Lord used him to go and pray for Paul and start the mightiest disciple in all of the scriptures, or the mightiest of the apostles in the scriptures, on his journey with the Lord. What an awesome thing. What an awesome calling this is. There was once a Scottish pastor who was very, very discouraged. His church had only had one convert in the previous year, and he presented him at the opening of the year, and he said, it's been kind of a discouraging year. And he even had considered leaving the pastorate, but the people prevailed on him, and he stayed there as their pastor. But he said, it's been a discouraging year. We only had one convert this year, just wee Bobby Moffat here. Little Bobby Moffat was the only one that came to the Lord that year. Bobby Moffat went to Africa as a missionary and opened Africa to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can read his story in the history of the church. So don't despise the times of small things. And also, the one that God is leading you to lead to Him might become the greatest evangelist of all time, the greatest missionary of all time. You just don't know. We just need to be ready in season or out of season, ready to speak, that someone else might come to a knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so here Ananias was called. Ananias was afraid too. I've heard about this guy. Now he said, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight." I was in Damascus in 1967, before some of you were born. I was there many years ago, and I saw this street called Straight. And it is a straight street. It's still there today. Now, we're going to see in a minute, Paul will get let down out of the wall in a basket. They tried to show us that area too, but I didn't believe it because it just didn't look right. But, you know, a lot of these historical places aren't always accurate, you know, when you go to the foreign lands. Did you know that? Chuck Missler has a saying, all the traditional places are wrong, you know, and in many cases that's true. But that you can see that street today, the street called Straight, right there in Damascus, Syria. Damascus is the oldest continually inhabited city in the world. Oldest continually inhabited city in the world. They will tell you that if you go there. Interesting scripture in Isaiah chapter 17. One day Damascus will be totally destroyed. There are some perilous times coming on this earth. Some perilous times. I don't know what will be the occasion for the destruction of Damascus. Probably during the time of the Great Tribulation. Or maybe they'll be involved in attack on Israel. I don't know. But yet, Damascus is a real place, and these are real people. These are real stories that we're getting here, because you can go there today. Anyway, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And also God had prepared Saul to receive Ananias. He said, he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And so Paul is ready for you. Saul is ready for you to come and to pray for him that you might receive your sight. Now, Ananias said, just a minute, Lord. You sure we got the right man here, you know? And I respect him for that. I respect him for that. Sometimes I've prayed to the Lord this kind of prayer. Lord, this doesn't seem to be going the way it's supposed to go. And I'm a little worried about this situation. It's okay. It's okay to get before the Lord with your honest concerns in your heart. I don't think this is doubt on the part of Ananias. Ananias is just a little bit concerned. This guy's been imprisoning people. Some of them have been put to death. That's a real concern. And so he says, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. Lord, is this the right one you want me to go to? And the Lord said unto him, go your way. See, when the Lord sends you on a mission, he will confirm it. He will confirm it. You won't be up in the air wondering, oh, you know, you know, get those honest questions out there before the Lord. Lord, these are my concerns, and he will confirm what his will is. And so he said, these are the things I'm concerned about. But the Lord said unto him, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Chosen vessel. And notice this chosen vessel, the next verse. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as you came has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So now we've got Saul was, when was he saved in this whole process? I don't know, perhaps on the Damascus road there, but now he's being filled. He's being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so he receives that. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. It was like there were scales over his eyes. The Lord tells us that concerning Israel today, that they're blinded right now. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. One day the church is going to be complete, going to be raptured, and then that blindness will be taken away, and many Jews will get saved during that time of the Great Tribulation, starting with 144,000. Those scales are going to fall off their eyes. Maybe 144,000 are going to have a Damascus Road experience. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to save them, and the Jews will have the greatest revival of all time during the time of the Great Tribulation. with the Jews evangelizing the world. They messed up the first time. They're going to do it right the last time. They're going to make the church look anemic because it's going to be mighty and with power. That 144,000 witnesses, those scales will fall off their eyes as they fell off the eyes of Paul here, or Saul. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So he stayed there in Damascus with them for a while. And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, can you imagine this? This guy comes to Damascus to get people thrown in jail and maybe even executed in the name of Jesus. I mean, against the name of Jesus. And now he's preaching Christ and Christ crucified, you know, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the one that destroyed them which came, which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest?" So what a turnaround. What a turnaround. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one of Israel. And so Saul now, he got strong physically when he ate. He got strong spiritually when he ate of the Lord, when he ate of the Word. And so he increased in strength and confounding the Jews. After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Guess what? When they can't overcome your arguments, they want to kill you. So that's what they did with Stephen. We can't refute his logic. Let's put him to death. What if they did that in the courts? Well, they do. They did in this day. Thank God they don't do it yet in the United States of America, but one day it will come. They will put Christians to death for their faith in Jesus Christ during the time of the Great Tribulation. So they wanted to kill Paul. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him down by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. I love this. How? You know, here's the great, mighty Apostle Paul, the way we think of him. He's being snuck out of the city at night in a basket. I mean, that's got to be a little bit humiliating. He doesn't leave on a jet plane with a lot of fanfare. "How'd you get out of town?" "In a basket." "And they let me over the wall and I ran away," you know. But there is a time for all things. There's a time to go that way, you know. And that's what he did. So when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he wanted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. I imagine there would be some hesitancy there. Here's a guy that you think, oh, he's just changed his tactics, you know. Previously, he was meeting us head on. Now he wants to join us so he can identify us all and get us killed. So they won't have anything to do with him. But Barnabas took him. What does Barnabas' name mean? Remember? Son of what? Consolation. Barnabas, the son of consolation, brings in Paul, consoles him like the Holy Spirit, and brings peace with Paul and the other disciples and the apostles. So Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Now these Grecians are Jews. They're of the Jewish, of the Hellenist culture, of the Greek culture, but they're actually Jews. But they want to kill Paul because they can't refute his arguments that Jesus is the Messiah.
Today from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey has been reminding us how and why God's grace makes the difference. No matter what we've done or still involved with, God's grace can make the lasting changes possible when we come to Christ.
And if you're interested in knowing more about the radio ministry, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, that's 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is From Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Thomasville in Georgia.
With all my soul, with all my love.